Gentlemen, welcome to a bumper double edition No Cash, No Code podcast, game week 10, game week 11. I mean, if you combine it, there might be some points in there. I am joined with someone who actually knows where to find points, former champion, currently top of the league, the historian himself, writing his own history, Mr. Tom Maxwell. Tom, how are you?
Good afternoon, Andre Clark and listener. I'm doing very well, thank you. I am parked outside a petrol station. These are the things we do to create content.
It is 10 minutes to midnight and my gentleman got muted at the last second as I realised I've got two sleeping children about 10 yards to my left. So yes, this is what we do to keep you fan engaged. And boy, do we need some help keeping kept engaged at some levels in this league right now. Right, so this is a history lesson in, well, pain, I think, for the most part. But let's get cracking, shall we? Week 10, it was a little while ago. Let's remind everyone what happened way back then. What do we start with? We had Palace versus Spurs and clean sheets disappearing and Udogi not playing, Son doing just enough and Madison as well. Then we had, sorry mate, got to go back here again. We had Chelsea versus Brentford. Which team's at home? I mean, statistically, technically it's Brentford now with three straight wins there. That was a surprising 2-0 loss for Chelsea. Surprising, would you say?
No, I don't think so. We sort of feel like we compete well, but if we don't score goals, we concede them.
This is so funny because you just come off thumping us 2-2 the previous week. And then the very next game, obviously, was Arsenal playing against Sheffield United.
We're too busy celebrating the draw.
Clearly, the champagne was still lingering. Arsenal 5, Sheffield United 0, shades of a certain 7-0 victory, the Havertz gate of Chelsea over yesteryear. 5 goals scored, none conceded, and only if you had Nketiah did you actually care what happened in that game. Little assist from Saka, thank you very much. Bournemouth versus Burnley. Good game for some. I'm sure that will come on later, shall we? And then you got Wolves versus Dirty Newcastle 2-2. You've got West Ham versus Everton in a game that didn't give anyone the points they were expecting. Aston Villa 3, Luton 1. Is that one going to get a mention? Unfortunately, yeah, it is. I'm afraid points didn't come from where they're supposed to. Brighton 1, Fulham 1. Liverpool had a walk in the park that was not expected by me against Forest, but luckily the points weren't where they're supposed to be, which I'm sure we'll touch on again. And then the final game. I say it's a game. Manchester United versus Manchester City, training versus cones, an absolute thumping, which went the way I think most of us expected, maybe not with the armband. So how did all that shake down in the end? Who got points? Who did well? Talk us through the team of the week, week 10, please.
So feeling quite mischievous about the team of the week this week, Andre, and there were lots of points. And three standout scores. The top point scorer, who I would say probably statistically, let's say 90% of the time gets team of the week on this podcast, was Ade. A massive 88 points, jumped up 6 places. Nice. He had a tremendous, tremendous week, but I cannot give team of the week to someone who has Mbeumo's 13 points sitting on their bench.
Oh, this is controversial.
So he was their third highest point scorer of the week. And he is sat first on the bench. He's got 20 points in total, 18 points in total on his bench. And so it's just not perfect. So I'm glossing over Ade. Next, Colin Dash, not Colin Dash, I do apologise. Next is Yanis, who scored 83 points and jumped 8 places, the most in the league. Absolutely tremendous team. Ferguson, Foden, Nketiah, all great differentials. But I can't give him team of the week either, Andre, because Nketiah, all of his Nketiah points came off his bench. So he wins the Better to Be Lucky Than Good award rather than the Team of the Week award. Fair. And that leaves us with the third highest point scorer of the week, Mr. Jamie Cork, a man much maligned last month. After winning Manager of the Month, he went on a streak that you wouldn't wish upon anyone. Red arrows galore, sliding down the league, but back to his best in game week 10. 81 points, up 7 places, back-to-back game weeks, green arrows, and has now returned to 880k in the world, which is where he was a month and a half ago when he won Manager of the Month. So I'm giving Team of the Week to Jamie. I did also just want to give a quick shout out to Bradley, up 7 places to 13th. His first year in No Cash, No Code was my pick at the start of the season as a potential sleeper. Not a good start to the season, now in his highest rank, and very much upward momentum for him.
Yeah, about the Ade thing. I mean, is that some Mbueno bitterness from the Chelsea fan in screen one there? No, I love the thinking behind it. 3 fan favourites there, all going for the award, not much between them. So I'm looking at the bench now, and you've got a very clean bench there. Augusto, Akabore, and Archer. Names that we'll be talking about later on, actually, in this podcast, for Jamie Cork. So based on that, and based on what we're going to see, I think, in the future, yeah, more than happy for Jamie to take that away. Yeah, lots of points. As you said, Moisho's points us out there. What was the best point score? What was the standout one for you? Who got the pick of the week there?
Pick of the week was pretty easy, actually, because there wasn't as much differentials floating around. So quick and dirty, Will Brock's only Callum Wilson starter, 13 points. He gets my pick of the week.
Clean, efficient. All right. I've got no arguments against that one, although Mr. Brock's is someone we're going to have arguments about shortly, I'm sure. Let's go to the nasty stuff then. I mean, you said there's points galore. It was a shocker for me, as usual. Who else was feeling pain?
Oh, so much pain, Andre. So, so much pain. And whereas the week we're about to talk about, the pain was pretty broadly shared across No Cash, No Code, week 10 was a week where we got some big movement up the league, some big movement down the league, some gaps starting appearing at various points in the league. And I've only picked out 3, but there were so many that could have got hurt on this particular occasion. Shout out to Tom Everett, who's the only man in the league that scored below 50 points for the week. He was 9 millionth in the world for the game week. And it was only 1 week after his wild card. So that is spectacularly painful. Colin Dash, a man who is no stranger to the Hurt Award, took a minus 4 hit for his 58 points. His 6th red arrow out of 7. He has fallen from the top 10, where he was in the first month of the season, to the bottom 4 over that period of time. But most importantly, he had 20 points on his bench. He captained Watkins, one of the very few in the league who captained Watkins, 4 points. Everyone else's captains returned, some more than others. But the Watkins pick and the 20 points on the bench was spectacularly bad. But comfortably the winner is George Johnson, who has had Eddie Nketiah since game week 4. During that period of time, Eddie Nketiah scored 12 points in 6 matches. And George, in game week 10, decided to use him as the make weight to be able to afford the Darwin to Watkins transfer so that he could captain Watkins in their plum fixture against Luton. Fast forward to the end of the game week, Nketiah has scored 17 points, more than he had in the previous 6 combined game week. Darwin, who he also transferred out, scored 10. And his transfers in of Watkins and Archer scored 5 points between them, including the armband. So that's effectively 5 points from 3 players. So minus 22 points in all for his transfers, which is the highest of the season so far. George still somehow managed 62 points for the game week. But if he had just left his team where it was and picked any of the captains that anyone had in the week, he would have been the top point scorer in No Cash, No Code. So that definitely constitutes Hurt of the Week award.
Potentially Hurt of the Season there. Wow, that was graphic. That's really, really poor. And listener, I know you haven't got a reason to scroll down that far, but you may not have noticed that there was a real Watkins attacking there between those last two people, with Colin and George being two of the only people to captain Watkins, the third being myself. So thanks for that. Yeah. Really enjoyed that. Thank you so much. I don't even know what I was thinking. I honestly don't know what I was thinking. Unbelievably brutal. Did it get better in game week 11? Let's find out. Walk us through the games, please.
Oh, no, it did not, Andre. This was by some distance the grimmest week of the season, and one that I think a lot of people thought might be a bit of a banker. You've got Liverpool playing Luton. You've got Man City playing at home to Bournemouth. All, you know, lots and lots of ownership in those games. Clearly, the two games of the weekend were the Newcastle-Arsenal game and the Spurs-Chelsea game. So there were a lot of people who had sort of competing players in those two matches. But points were scarce. What have we got? We have Manchester United beat Fulham 1-0. Bruno got the winner. Scott McTominay, who was my transfer in this week, only owner in the league, scored in the first 10 minutes, only for Harry Maguire to be adjudged offside. Brentford and West Ham, that played out a belting 3-2. That was a cracking game. Crystal Palace continue to keep clean sheets, this time away at Burnley, 2-0. Everton, I would say possibly the most in-form of the mid-table sides in the Premier League at the moment. They got a point against Brighton, and I think increasingly Everton look much, much better than we give them credit for after last year's debacle. City scored 6 against Bournemouth, but Haaland got dragged off at half-time with 0 points, goals or assists. Sheffield United, I imagine we might touch on some of their players in a second. They finally got a big win at home to Wolves. Newcastle beat Arsenal 1-0 in a fairly sort of mediocre affair. And then Aston Villa, most people have at least two Aston Villa players. They lost 2-0 to Nottingham Forest. That helped no one. Liverpool, lots of people have 2+ Liverpool players. They drew 1-1 with Luton. And then Spurs-Chelsea, which I feel like you could spend an entire podcast talking about. Chelsea somehow managed to win a game 4-1 whilst also not really looking like scoring against 9 men for long periods of time. Did you watch the game?
Luckily, you got to adjust there. Well, first I woke up to a barrage of Twitter clips of a line of white shirts on the halfway line. I've very much enjoyed watching the tactical analysis. If you're not into TIFO videos, please do, listener, give those a go. They're no end of fun. What an interesting breakdown. And made a mockery of my thoughts on Jackson. I mean, that we've now found his level. His level is playing against an empty pitch of a team that's playing with 9 men and a high line. That's where he needs to be in his life. So what a game. You said during this that helps no one on one of the results. I think it was the Villa Forest. That might even be the title of this podcast. Like, there were goals galore. I mean, obviously, I've talked about this before. I'm an overnighter, so often I don't get to watch the game. He said, did you watch? I check the score in the morning, and I like a little ritual. First, I check my WhatsApps. I go to you, because you have a lovely habit of giving me snippets of what the headlines are going to be without ruining the game. I love that. Then I go to the scores without checking who's done what. And then later, I'll go and watch the highlights, expanded highlights, if I've got a player in the game. I can't tell you how excited I was to watch Man City 6, Bournemouth 1. It was like the gift that didn't give. It was horrific, horrific weekend. There was nothing to be found. I mean, which game stood out for you as being most disappointing?
Most disappointing, definitely Villa. I own 3 Villa players. And, Forest are a difficult side to beat. Away from home, or when Forest are at home, but Villa really didn't look like breaking down Forest at all. Diaby was really quiet. Watkins had a couple of chances, but to me, Villa feel very much like a team who at home are pretty dominant, create lots, high energy. Against big sides, they tend to enjoy the space afforded to them. But away from home to middling side to a sort of parking the bus, they do look a bit devoid of creativity. And I certainly would be slightly concerned about the amount of Villa players that I own at this point.
So 2 points on that one. No, on the first one, the Villa result wasn't the worst for me. I thought that was karma. As a non-Salah owner, having prayed for Forest to be resilient and difficult, and obviously they still lost 3-0, but they kept Salah out the previous week, I felt like I got my just desserts for next week when they then kept Watkins out. And I like what you've just said. My armband is hovering over Watkins again for some reason, despite what just happened. But, you know, how they're flat-track bullies at home against the easier games. They've got Fulham at home this week. But the aforementioned travesty was Luton at home.
Fulham definitely better than Luton away from home. So
hold on.
Captaincy this week is going to be really interesting. It's another one of those weeks where Haaland has statistically the hardest game of the week. It's also the last game of the weekend. People are looking for reasons not to captain him. He obviously only played 45 last week, but then did play Champions League in midweek, scored again. So it's going to be really interesting to see how many people put it on Haaland, because obviously 2 weeks ago, we all went away from Haaland and he hauled.
Exactly. Listener, if you want to know the best captain choice, send me another entrance fee and I'll let you know who I'm picking so you can take that one off the list. I'm like 50-50 in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I'll tell you which ones I'm going for. You can then take those off your board and you've got a much better chance of picking the right captain. Right.
Are we going to start charging for no cash, no code tips on what not to do?
I've got to find a way to enjoy this season somehow.
Make some money. Good idea. Okay, well, let's look at what went well before we think about what went badly. Can you find anyone with Jeremy Doku's 22 points that would be the pick of the week?
I've got a wicked system now for trying to find those players. There's a couple of engines you can use, which you can search and it'll do all the team's players, and you just type in the player you want. I can't tell you how much stuff you had to do this week to try and find a pick of the week. Normally, the hard part is, well, everyone's got that player, so that doesn't count. That is not the case. Let me walk you through the team of the week for the world last year. Team of the week. So you've got Nicholas Jackson. Obviously, he's been highly owned at some points, and nobody has him now. You've got, big kudos to Kudos over at West Ham for the game that he had at 11 points. You've got Doku. You've got, I'm going to get this wrong, aren't I? Milenko over at Everton. You've got Aina at Nottingham Forest. And then you've got Toffolo. Never heard of him before.
Toffolo,
that's the one.
Yeah.
At Nottingham Forest. Yeah. So it was the unowned. Then you've got the barely owned. So shout out to Tom Maxwell being a Johnson owner, 9 points. So you're in contention there. We've got Palmer. Palmer with 12 points. Fair few Palmer owners. We know the usual rules. Then you've got Bruno Fernandes, 90th minute Bruno Fernandes with 11 points. But the winner, the third highest score of the week, but behind people that just don't exist or are relevant in the world of fantasy football. It's weird when I say this name, because it's the second time I think he's won it this year with the exact same player. Why nobody has Bernardo Silva as their second Man City player is ridiculous. But here he is again. Pick of the week, Elijah, for having Bernardo. I mean, what are the rest of us doing with ourselves? I've played, Elijah's been in this league in and out, what now? Must be 8-9 years. He's always loved a differential, as much as, even more so, probably the only person who likes differentials more than Elijah was the non-serious Tom Maxwell, the one that didn't used to win the league because he had tons of minus fours. I don't. this one has been a joy to watch, to be honest. I backed this one completely. No, maybe I do miss it. That is more fun. But anyway, that Tom Maxwell and this Elijah, very, very similar managers. His team is just so different. So for him to get another pick of the week and also be getting the benefits this year of flying high on the table is just wonderful to watch. So another trophy for Elijah, not hurt. But he's up there yet again with a pick of the week.
Love it. And just to back that up, there's an app that I've got that has some quite fun little statsy bits on the league and the week on each league. And it tells you which player has the most template team and which player has the least template team. And to back up exactly your point, Elijah has the least template team. It's nicknamed the Maverick on this app. So he's the Maverick. Have a quick guess at who the Sheep is, the most template team.
Please tell me it's top of the league, Tom Maxwell.
It is not. It's Damien.
Oh, my Lord. With what he's going through this year, that is quite the... Oh, no, there he is. He's second. There he is. He's second. Fair enough. Let's have a look at that, listener, since it's been brought up. The most template team, Ariola, tick. Trippier, tick. Cash, tick. Shimikas, tick. Diaby, half tick. Madison, San, Salah. Yep, yep. Watkins, Haaland, Archer. Oh, my Lord. Palmer, Gabriel, Lamptey, Turner. Yep, yeah, I can see that. And he supports Man United as well. Wow. Okay, I mean, I think that's enough dabbing. Let's keep talking about teams, shall we?
Yeah. Let's hear which of the managers did least badly this week, please.
Oh, the theme isn't going to change. That's why I wanted to segue pretty quickly. Shout out. It's the year, well, it's the week anyway, of the Zaggers rather than the Ziggers. So another shout out to a differential type person. Only two people scored in the 40s. In the 40s. Could you imagine the joy that Amazing. Must have been? You were close with your 39. Obviously, Johnson being the vast majority of your points with 9. But the two in the 40 club, well, number one is, oh, sorry, in second place, Jeff Brown. There's a Darlo. He actually let Matoma play. That's going to be a theme. There's a Bowen and there's a Palmer. So all of his points came from three midfielders and one defender. Great work, Jeff Brown. That shifts him up another four places in the league. Team of the week was easy. I mean, I told you about typing all the names in. The other name that came closest to being differential pick of the week was actually Bruno Fernandes. Take a bow, Elijah. Bruno, Bernardo, Akanji. The man got 40 plus points with a 9-point Lascelles from Newcastle on his bench. Now, normally, you stripped a team of the week for someone having a high point scorer on the bench earlier in that day. I'm going to give him extra kudos for having that much points on the bench because he also had Udogie's -4 on the bench. So he had decisions to be made in his defence. He dodged one bullet. He didn't quite get the result on the other. Net, we'll take it. Highest score of the week. It would only have been 5 points more. There was obviously a chance it was -4 less. So congratulations, 48 points for Elijah, when the world average was 32 and everyone was really bunched together. Nowhere near touching you for game week rank of the week, but that's not the kind of week where that's going to happen. So yeah, fantastic week there from Elijah.
Sensational and a real pat on the back for picking some different players rather than wildcarding in all the usuals like the rest of us did. So that was the high point. I'm guessing that this one, you've got a bit more work to do. Hurt of the week in the worst week of the season. There's got to be some good hurt.
Yeah, I've had to go with the abridged version. I was going through every team. And it was like, there's just so much. So you can relax if you're the owner.
Have we ever seen -4 points before? Because when I went onto the app, Tom Everett texted me and when Romero got sent off and said, how many points, -points will that be for Romero? Went on the app, -2, I think it was at the time, texted back -2. He was very upset about that. Went back on the app like half an hour later and he was still accruing -points for the goals conceded after he was sent off.
Good.
When did that start becoming a rule?
That's always happened, but it's only ever been noticed once before. It's a Lewis Dunk game. Sorry, I'm doing the historian there. It's a Lewis Dunk game where he did the same. He got a red early and Brighton got battered and it was only one extra. So it was a -3. Because you are the reason why they're getting battered at that point. So of course, because you could have a scenario otherwise.
Yeah. Cool. I then had to text him back again being like, sorry, pal, it's got worse.
It is almost unheard of, and we nearly got a scenario where, because of obviously Udogie and Romero, I really did think we were going to get the 2-for-1. We didn't. No one started because Udogie wasn't supposed to be fit. No one started both of them, and that's never been seen. A -8 in defense across two has never been seen. That's what I was looking for. But listener, I know you're panicking right now. Is it you? If you've got Gordon on your bench, it's not you. If you're one of the hundreds with Archer's 9 points in a week where there were no points, it's not you. if you were someone with Palmer on your bench, including title-chasing Prunty and Michael Brown, it's not you, because there's too many of you. And if you've got Kabore on your bench, it is not you, because you need more than that this week. That's how bad the hurt is. It was just shocking, shocking stuff. Now, I'm going to break the tradition as well. You started the pod with, you're not going to give hurt of the week to the person with the, team of the week to the person with the highest score. I don't want to kick a man when he's down, and I'm down there with him, so I can't be kicking anybody right now. Steve Suckling, 16 points.
Incredible.
Bottom 3.5% in the world. 9+ million. With Kabore on his bench, which would have just saved the whole thing in one manoeuvre. Ed Mullane not far behind. 19 points for the week. How do you not get the Hurt Award with those? Because someone's worked harder to get almost as bad a score. I've missed a couple of people out. For those watching, Douglas Luiz watch over at Aston Villa for Hugo. Finally, that was the wrong decision. He has Matoma on his bench instead. But let's cut to the chase. Jeremy May, 21 points. 21, you say? That's considerably higher than 16, isn't it? Yes, it is. But it's how he got his 21 points. He's got a -4 for Romero. And as you've just described, that's obviously very rare. He's got Captain Blank. There's a lot of those knocking around. He's got Kabore 8 on the bench. Now, that would normally, in most weeks, be enough. But it's the transfers. Not only has he taken a hit for these transfers, he brought in Salah, understandable, Captain Blank. He brought in Romero for these -4 points. That's going to really hurt your transfer algorithm, bringing in a player for a -4. He also brought in Palmer for 12. So we should be doing fine. Out went Foden. I mean, that's going to be annoying with how Foden got those points in the first place.
Mm.
Out went Trippier. Out went Bruno. He is -21 for the second worst set of transfers, only beaten by the previous week's -22 for the net transfer. When you've got -21 on your transfers, and 21 would have been a good score, well, it is your score for the week. That has really, really got to hurt. So for me, Jeremy is the winner of Hurt of the Week.
It's spectacular. My only offering, and it's definitely not better, but a man who had more points on his bench than Jeremy May scored points on his team, I think has to get a mention in an incredibly low-scoring work week. Andy Fisk. Bench includes Leno 3, Gabriel 2, Mbeumo 5, Palmer 12.
Oh,
so that is 22 points in total. His entire team scored 25 points in total.
Oh, I mean, Palmer really hurt everybody. But to have that with it and Bueno as well, I mean, let's look on the bright side. Let's try and finish on a positive note. I mean, that's quite the squad you've got there. You had some tough decisions to make. We've talked about this all season. We've talked about, do you want to go for the benching headaches, or do you want to go for all of your money in your assets on the pitch? He's had to choose between Palmer, Salah, Bowen, Matoma, and Bueno. He's decided to go with just three when he's clearly setting up for a five-man midfield. He's had the luxury of benching Gabriel against Newcastle. A solid decision. Just really unfortunate for him that it's worked out that he's kept the -4 Romero instead. So tough, tough times there. Surely we're on for bigger and better things. I've got some serious tinkering to do. It's almost 12:30, and I've got to try and work out who of my ragtag bunch of misfits is going to be the person, the sacrificial lamb, to wear the armband. How many transfers have you got this week?
Just the one, and I've already made it.
Oh, who is this Tom Maxwell? Disciplined. Was that early? Tell me you didn't go in.
Made it day before yesterday, I think. There was a hint of a potential price rise. I was looking for more exciting transfers, but I just needed at least one option. Whereas on my bench.
Such different places this season. You're checking the price rises, and that's why your value is good. I've opened the app for the first time because I've got to drag myself into this podcast. Let me think. What would you have gone for? I'm guessing you need to get rid of Foster, but that's not a necessary right now. I don't know actually. McTominay was an inspired choice, I thought. That first 15
Thank
minutes,
you.
I was certain.
Thank you.
Certain. Not just the disallowed goal, actually. I missed that because I turned on just after you mentioned. I think I was watching the other another game, but I turned across and every time I looked, it was someone standing, normally Hoyland, standing just in front of him in a worse position, swinging a boot badly when McTominay got a tap in at the back post time after time.
Got an assist yesterday on Wednesday in midweek as well. He looks like the most likely to player to score for Manchester United most weeks. And at 4.8 million differential, I thought
Luton this
nice
week.
Option.
Yeah.
And Luton
yep,
this
fair
week.
Enough.
But
yeah.
Before we wrap up, and I want you to get yourself to bed, we had at the end of a month in between
oh,
these two game weeks.
Oh, thank you for
and
catching that.
I think it's quite important that we just touch on what happened there because justice was done, Andre. Justice
Football
was done.
Was the winner.
Yeah.
And it was close. It was really close. Would you like to run through it?
I mean, I can do. I think we obviously touched on it the week before that William Brox had joined No Cash, No Code with maybe one of his 12 different teams a good few months later than he should have done. He's probably not paid yet either. And it looked like
Absolutely
he might
not.
Win Manager of the Month. But thankfully, Damian Prunty, founding with me at the top of the league this season, his Archer pick of 9 points and that absolute worldie and off the bar that he scored, got him the 31 he needed to win Manager of the Month over Will Brox. Kinder, I mean, a really good season, was in third. Ali Maxwell, who had his first red hour row for 7 weeks in game week 10, was in fourth. And Jamie Cork, having had a month off, celebrating his Manager of the Month award from the month before, was in fifth place. So congratulations, Damien. And let's get him on the pod soon enough so that we can put the curse on him and just make sure he's not too close to me by the end of this month.
Looking forward to it. Fantastic analysis. Thank you very much. Yeah, that if Brox had won, we would have had another of those votes on how does the league go. Again, I think we lost the manager last time we had to do that. So very, very happy. Justice was served. Well played with the template team that is Damien saving the league. Congratulations. All right.
Yeah.
Goodbye, my friend.
Extra,
look forward
extra
to the
big
next
manager
one.
Of the month award for him. Lovely to chat.
Yeah, exactly.
Get yourself to bed and we will speak next week.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye.